you. And he showed him his hands and his side, and then he said, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. We've been in this sermon series called Acts Out since the beginning of September. And a couple of months back, we had an opportunity to hear from Pastor Dick and his wife Sheila on the adventure they were going to be sent out to. Both they, as in Pastor Dick, went, and Sheila just covered him and everything while you were back here. We told you back then, it seemed like so long ago, that Pastor Dick's going to come back November 5th and share with us. And here we are. Here we are. Time goes by fast. We got to see pictures along the way. We've been praying. We have walked with you, and we are so excited. This past week in our reading, we encourage you guys to read the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul. And just about everywhere he went, he was invited into the church, and they asked him, if you want to speak, go ahead and speak and share what God's doing. So that's what we're going to do with Pastor Dick. If you want to speak, if you want to preach, preach, and then share over the last couple of weeks. I want to pray for you and for the message that God has for us. Lord God, thank you so much on this end of the journey that we get to hear what you did. And we know, Lord, as we just sang, that there's going to be times where you call us out to places where we're going to be uncomfortable, but where your hand is going to be evident, where your heart is going to be seen, and where you're going to give us eyes to be able to explore the world through what you see. Lord, I thank you for Pastor Dick and Sheila and the adventure that they've been on, not just in these last couple of months, but their entire lives. I thank you that they have said yes at every point where you have said, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Lord, open our ears to what you want us to hear today, and we give you honor and glory and praise. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, I can already tell that the Holy Spirit wants to do something special today. Because one of the verses that has been on my heart is that John 20:21. In fact, it's in my sermon notes. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. I don't know about you, but when the Holy Spirit starts gelling something together, and it's not something planned by man, but it's the Holy Spirit that wants to speak into our lives, I get chills, because this isn't man. This is God. Are you expecting to hear from the Lord this morning? Are you expecting to hear and sense the Holy Spirit move? Good. Well, James said, when you ask a pastor or a preacher, see, when I first got saved at Camp Sanders at 15 years old, Merle was one of my counselors. He had to keep me in line. But it was one of those summers, I was 15, that I accepted Christ in the tabernacle. And when I accepted Christ, I had the call from God. He said, you will preach my word. And wherever God calls, he always equips. He doesn't ask us to do something and then leave us on our own. Amen? He gives us the energy, the ability, the power to do what he asks us to do. And so when Pastor James said, hey, Dick, if you want to preach, we're in Acts, I was just like, it's just like throwing a bone to a dog. I mean, I love to open up the word. And so my prayer today, and I've been praying and fasting and saying, Lord, what do you want said to the church on Cortland? I didn't pull out an old sermon. That would have been easy. But I wanted to pull out, I wanted to hear from the Lord for you. And I can already tell that it is in line because of what Pastor James just said, the scripture he quoted. So I want you to turn to Acts 13. Acts 13. It's an incredible church. The Antioch church. What made these people tick? What made these people so willing to send out Paul and Barnabas and to do the work? Whoa, hold on just a second. This went crazy. What was it about this church? Did this church, as you turn into Acts chapter 13, where is this? Are you there yet? Y'all beat me there. Sheila's always beaten me. You ever have those sword drills? How many know what a sword drill is? You hold it up like this, and you say, you know, Acts 13:1, and everybody says Acts 13:1, and you say, charge. And, you know, we used to have the guys against the girls up in Colville. Girls always beat us. And Sheila always won, so we had to limit her. So she could only win three times, but the girls still beat us. Acts 13, starting in verse 1, if you're there, say amen. Amen. Let's stand at the reading of God's word. We stand in the presence of the Holy Spirit as He wants to speak through His word to us. Now the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manion, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Father, we're so grateful for your word. It is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Lord, this is your word. You are not silent. Heaven is not silent. Your will is not a mystery. Lord, may our hearts be open to hear what you have to say. May we have the courage to obey as the Spirit leads, in Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen. So who were these people? These people in Antioch, were they impacted the whole world. They sent out Barnabas and Saul, who became Paul. And from there on, the church spread to what we get to enjoy today, the Gentile church. Because of what Antioch did, we're sitting here today. Think about that. If it would have just stayed Jewish, then there would be organizations for Gentiles for Jesus instead of Jews for Jesus. And so, what is it about them? Did they read the books? Now, I've got tons of books that these are just... Did they sit around and read the 10 of today's most innovative churches? Did they read a book like that? Or did they say, living in your strengths? Yeah. Let's see what else I have. Oh, here we go. Church growth. I grew up in the church growth movement. We're all about seeing the church grow and grow so your church can grow. Hallelujah. Oh, how about this one? How to Break Growth Barriers by Carl George. Did you have that one? Oh, Leading Your Church to Growth. Oh, one of our all-time favorite. Do I hear an amen and a hallelujah? The Purpose-Driven Church. As I read about this church, I get hungry. I get hungry for this. And it's not about these books. And you don't, when you read this, you don't see anything about the size of the church. Oh, in America, we're all about the size. How many people go to your church? How many? How big is your building? Where is your building? Because location, location, location. Got to have a good location. Got to be on a main road. Got to have the signage, the perfect signage. Do I hear an amen? Good. I'm glad I didn't hear one. Nothing about their programs. Nothing. Nothing about their children or youth programs. I don't read it. I don't see it. A church that turned the world upside down, and it does not mention a nursery ministry. Nowhere can I see their core values stuck up on a wall or in their mission statement. But what I do see, let me show it to you, and I'm hungry for this, and I believe everyone in this room is hungry for this very same thing. In your own lives, in the lives of the body of Christ, not just First Church, but the body of Christ, the church in Spokane. I want you to turn over to chapter 11. I'm going to start showing you what I see in this church, what they had that we so desperately need more of. Look at him, verse 19 of 11. The church at Antioch. Now, are you there? Say amen. You there? I encourage you, bring your Bibles. I used to tell my people, if you don't hear the leaves turn, turn and leave. We're about the scripture. Now, those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled to Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word among Jews. But I love this. I love this. But some of them, I would hope I'd be one of those some of them that just didn't follow the crowd. However, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, they went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also. Oh boy. That's coloring outside the lines. Telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord's hand was with them. And a great number of the people believed and turned to the Lord. The first thing I see here in the Antioch church is they were born of the Spirit. I was talking, hold on, it's your name's going to come to me. We're talking. Ryan. I asked Ryan today, I said, Ryan, how long have you been going here? Two years. Hey, who brought you? Tim brought me, my stepbrother. I said, And then he told me he accepted Christ here at one of your sermons. Boom. You're born of the Spirit. You were dead spiritually, but now you're alive and you know it. I can see it in your eyes, Ryan. Amen? And I look around. We've been born of the Spirit, not of the flesh. It's something totally different. We haven't joined a club. We've joined a body of Christ. We've joined a heavenly army. We've been radically changed from inside out. We are born of the Spirit. Say that. We are born of the Spirit. These people were born of the Spirit, but not only were they born of the Spirit, look in verse 22. And Jesus spoke about that. He said that to Nicodemus. You can't enter the kingdom of heaven unless you're born of the water and of the Spirit. So, number two, look at this. News had reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. And when he arrived, he saw the grace of God, the evidence of God had done, was working in the life. What was that evidence? Well, if you look back in Acts chapter 2, the evidence was a filling of the Holy Spirit, and they spoke in tongues and glorified God. When Peter went and talked to Cornelius, and the whole household was filled with his relatives and his friends, and he started preaching, and it says, while he was still speaking, the Holy Spirit was poured out on him. And so the evidence was they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and it was obvious. I remember when I was filled with the Holy Spirit, I went into Spokane and saw my mom, and I walked into the door, and my mom looked at me. She goes, something's different about you. We're born of the Spirit, but we don't stop there. Acts, we all need our Pentecost. To be filled with the Holy Spirit. These people were filled with the Holy Spirit. And it doesn't stop there. Look at this. And verse 24. And he was a good man. It's talking about Barnabas. Full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And so what's the result of that? And a great number of people were brought to the Lord. He was full of the Holy Spirit. Barnabas was full of the Holy Spirit. And as a result, a great many people were saved. We're born of the Spirit. We're supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But we're told in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That's our power. It's not found in these books. It's not found in a man's strategy. It's not found in creative ideas. It's not found in signage or programs. It's found in the Holy Spirit. Oh, I'm going to cough. Could you get me some water? I'm getting excited. I'm getting choked up. You receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And he gives a power for what? Why? Why? Who said that? Yes. He gives a power. The primary purpose of the church is saving souls. It is. And what Satan wants us to do is to get us involved in very important things. And I'm not saying that the social ills we're facing, the trafficking of children and those kind of things, the church should step up and speak loud against racism and all those things. Yes, but our primary purpose, and if we do this purpose correctly, it changes the world. We can reform society and the whole world can go to hell. But the church's one priority is to reach the lost. Let me read something to you from our very own B.T. Roberts. This is from 18... When was this written? This is a super old book. So this was published in 1918. This book is over 100 years old. Let me read you what B.T. Roberts said. The success of a minister of Jesus Christ, us, does not consist then in drawing a large congregation. An infidel having the gift of eloquence can do that. Nor does his success in building church edifices and paying church debts and obtaining large contributions for benevolent purposes meet the demands in the case. A man of good address and good business ability, whom God has never called to the work of the ministry, may do all these. All these may be important, but they are not the peculiar. Did you hear that? The peculiar. We are peculiar. Turn to the person next to you and say, oh, you are peculiar. Some of you go, yeah, I knew that. The peculiar work of one called of God to labor for the salvation of souls. No other organization is going to do that. It's us. He is a successful minister who is successful in saving souls. If he fails in this, no matter in what else he may succeed, he fails in the one important thing. B.T. Roberts. And the only way we can do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. So these people were born of the Spirit. They were filled with the Spirit, and they were empowered by the Spirit. Now go over to chapter 13 again. Fourth thing I see, they were gifted in the Spirit. Did you see that? Now in the church of Antioch, there were prophets and teachers. Oh, how we need people who hear from the Lord and speak directly into our lives. We need prophets. We need prophets that say, thus saith the Lord. This is what we need. This is what God is saying today. Let us be about the business. We need teachers. A teacher is someone, my wife is a teacher. She teaches in such a way that people learn. Have you ever had a teacher that you're just, I had a Dr. Knapp. Oh, perfect name. 8 o'clock class. I mean, it was a perfect time for a nap with Dr. Knapp. He did not have the gift of teaching because once he got done, you walked out and go, what in the world? But a teacher will convey and communicate information we need. And boy, do we need. I miss Sunday school. We have such a lack and dearth of understanding and knowledge of Scripture. I'm so glad that you're asking your people, read this, get your nose in the book, get your knees on the ground, get your hands to the plow and your eyes on Jesus. We need to learn. That's what a disciple is a learner. I hope I'm still learning when I'm 80 and 90. These were gifted. They had prophets. Those prophets are God's mouthpiece. They just speak directly, and sometimes it's directly to a specific situation. Sometimes it's towards the future. I had this one lady come to my office when I was up in Colville when I was 32 years old, and she came in and says, I don't know you, but the Lord gave me a message. That's a prophet. And I know that women can be prophets because in Acts chapter 2, verse 17, it says, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit and your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men dreams. She came to me. She goes, Dick, pastor. And she had her husband. She said, I have my covering. She said, the Lord told me to tell you to quit climbing the Free Methodist ladder. And as a young man, the Colville Free Methodist Church was the 14th fastest growing church in the nation 3 years in a row. And I was in the magazine, and Les Kroeber, who was a bishop, was the pastor of the largest Free Methodist church in Wenatchee. He personally called me and said, I want you on my staff. I want you as my right-hand man. I thought, oh, I am all that in a bag of chips. It was that week that he called me, and she came that weekend. Thus saith the Lord. Sometimes it nails you between the eyes, but it's always what God is saying to you. Amen. So this was a gift that they operated in their gifts. There was no, we're going to have a vote and put this person in this position, there, whatever. No, it was based on spiritual gifts in the body of Christ. Everyone in this room, from the youngest child to the oldest person, you are all spiritually gifted. The Holy Spirit has gifted you for a purpose that builds up the body. And what we've got too much in the church is people logging time in a pew thinking they did church when we're called to be the church. Amen? So they were gifted, incredibly gifted in the Holy Spirit. But that's not all. Look at this. It's the whole group. I wish I could get into it, but you got Barnabas, and you got Simeon called Niger. He was probably a black man. Hallelujah, right there in the scripture. One of the leaders in the church of Antioch is a black dude, Lucius from Cyrene, which is Libya today. So that's the African Manian who was brought up. He was the stepbrother of Herod the Tetrarch, the dude that put JB to death and tried Jesus, and then Saul. Then verse 2, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, these people walked in the Spirit. Paul said in Galatians 5, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. See, folks, here it is. We either live a life that feeds the Spirit or we live a life that feeds the flesh. Are you listening to me? This is serious. Are we living a life that feeds the Holy Spirit? Or are we living a life that feeds the flesh? And so when I look at this, I see these people, they fed the Spirit. They walked in the Spirit. How do I know? Look at that. They were worshiping the Lord. What is worship? That word is what we get the word liturgy. And liturgy and worship is partly this. By the way, who put together this worship set? Who did that? Beautiful. It was all directed to God. So much worship is about me, 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 me. True worship is a liturgy. It literally means service to God. They were serving God. We're the priesthood of believers. We come not facing the worship team or facing me, but we all come together. It's all about Him. It's like my grandkids, my grandkids. They love to dance. They're all girls. They all like to talk at the same time. But they always want Papa's attention. And they're dancing in front of me, right? We got one that's super dramatic. What do you think, Papa? That's worship. As I sing this song to you, Father, what do you think, Papa? I love you, Lord. I'm living this life. What do you think, Papa? When I love my neighbor, what do you think, Papa? When I give my offering into that plate, what do you think, Papa? I gave more. I'm going to have to do without a little few things, but I did it because you. We've lost our sense of awe. We've lost our sense of papa-ness. He's our Abba Father. He's also Creator. He's the one that has no beginning and no end. That's worship. What do you think, Papa? Am I pleasing to you, Papa, today as I share with your body? As I share with your precious people. That was the church at Antioch. They worship and they fasted. And I thought, oh, fasting. You know what I've learned about food? Food covers up a lot of things. What's really inside? I'm an emotional eater. How about some of you? If I feel bad, I'd go for a frozen ding dong. Aren't they delicious? Have you ever tried a frozen ding dong? Come on. They are really, oh, and then you just, around the edge, all that chocolate. But food covers up a lot of things, distracts us. And you know what fasting is? Lays us bare before the Lord. All distractions, we get rid of everything that's in between me and God. And it's something about food. Once you remove that food, it kind of, it's like the Wizard of Oz. All of a sudden, the curtain is pulled back, and what's really behind the curtain is exposed. That's why I believe very few people fast. Because it's spiritual surgery. And these people fasted. They sought the Lord. They laid themselves bare before the Lord. And as they became more conformed into the likeness of Christ, because all the things that were in between them and Christ, whether it's anger or fear or jealousy or hurt or pride or lust or whatever it may be, was exposed. And you say, Lord, this is, I don't want this in my life. That's what fasting does. And once you're cleared out, then you can hear the Spirit. Then the next thing happens. Look at this. Verse 2, and then they worshiped the Lord in fasting, and the Holy Spirit said, only when we're clear, when all the gunk in our hearts and in our ears and in our minds is all cleared out, then we can hear the Holy Spirit. Then we're led by the Spirit. And all over the Acts, it says, the Holy Spirit said, the Holy Spirit said, the Holy Spirit said. And they heard, and it's usually either through scripture or through a prophet or somehow there's that still small voice that says, the Holy Spirit said, say you're sorry to that person or to your spouse or tell that person God loves you. Or this morning when I, oh, excuse me. When we're going through Chihuahua, and the gal, I had to have a sandwich at Subway. And her name was Crystal, C-H-R-I-S-T-A-L. And I looked at that, and the Holy Spirit said, tell her who she is. And I said, she said, I said, oh, your name has Christ in it. And she goes, Christ is all. The Holy Spirit speaks. Have you heard his voice? Have you heard his voice? I think some of you have. The Holy Spirit gave, when the Holy Spirit speaks, he usually reveals something we don't know or tells us something we already do know, and he's reminding us. And they didn't know, but God's plan was for us. This set into motion what we are living here today in 2023. Send out Paul and Barnabas for the work I have for them. It's direction. I don't know about you, but I am so hungry, not for another program, but for a people that know how to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Together. It wasn't just one guy saying, it was the groups and the church. The church said, just like you sent me out, they sent them. It's the church that hears. It's the board. Your board, James, hears from the Holy Spirit. The Sunday school, the worship team hears from the Holy Spirit. Everybody, for your home, you hear for the Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you? They were led by the Holy Spirit because the Spirit still speaks. Amen. Oh, how we need Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. And the only way we can go, the prayer of Moses has been my prayer. Lord, do not send me up without your presence. Don't send me into that board meeting without your presence. Don't send me out this door without your presence. Don't send me into this pulpit, to this church, this precious church, without your presence. I can't change anything but the Holy Spirit. He's the one. He's the power. Amen. I love this. This shirt, this scripture, Luke, again, Acts, the writer of Acts, said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So my question today is, are you hungry for the Holy Spirit? Do you want to be filled? Do you want to be walking? Do you want to be led? Do you want to operate in your giftedness? Are you hungry for the Holy Spirit? Jesus said, ask, and he'll give it to you. If you but ask. I want you to close your eyes and just bow your head just between you and the Father. I believe everyone here is born of the Spirit. If you're not, today, the Holy Spirit, I know, this is another work of the Holy Spirit. He is speaking into your life and you say, today is the day of surrender. Give your heart to Jesus. If that's you today, you need to do it. Just say, Lord, I hear your voice. I've run for too long. It's time to stop. I surrender to you. Take me. Make me yours. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Fill me. In Jesus' name. But for the rest of us who are born of the Spirit, you want to be filled. You want to be empowered. You want to walk in your giftedness. You want to feed the Spirit and not grieve the Spirit anymore. You want to be led, hear his voice. And all you have to do is pray, Father, give me a greater measure. Give me a filling of your Holy Spirit. I can't live this life in my own strength anymore. Fill me. Use me. In Jesus' name. And all the people said, Amen. Amen. Thank you for letting me share. I'm excited. Some of you are going to run with this. I know it. Because the Holy Spirit told me some of you needed to hear this. And you're going to run with it. And watch out, Pastor James. Because when people start hearing the voice of God, it's going to be like a bucking bronco. You're going to be riding going, yee-haw. The church will never be the same. It'll be the Antioch church. Amen? Well, I was supposed to just share about my God. You guys sent me out to Nepal. And, you know, the deep waters, you talk about the deep waters. Let me tell you, this old dude, my digestive system does not handle Nepal. And I've lost weight, and today is, it's been 2 weeks since I got home, and today's the first day I actually feel normal. 2 weeks. It's brutal, but that's where God's calling. Let me tell you, when God, where God calls it, it's not always easy. In fact, it won't be easy. If you're looking for comfort, then it's not the Spirit-filled life you're looking for. He called people to the cross. That's what it is. But I want to share just briefly. Are you wanting to hear a little bit about this? But before I share briefly, James, you got to come up here. I got to do what they did to me every time I spoke at a church or at a conference. Yeah, you can kick those books. Don't kick Fishers of Men, though. This one, ooh, this is a great book. Anyway. So what they would do is they would say, you bow, I give this to you, like this. And I would say, Jamesee. And you go, Jamesee. Say, Jamesee. Jamesee. That means praise the Messiah. Jamesee. And then they always gave me a hat that never fit my fat head. So this, it probably won't fit your head. But you can. We want to see what it looks like on you. That's about what it looked like on me. Yeah, a little yarmulke. There you go. Isn't this awesome? Hold on. We got to have a picture. Hold on just a second. This is too funny. Okay, Sheila. Sheila, the photo here. We got to get this done. And then I'm going to send it to my... Hold on just a second. Hold on. Yeah, that's not it? Dick. Hello? Okay. Oh. They finally gave me a hat that's big enough for my head, but I'm not going to give this to you. So. Is that good, Sheila?
Yeah,
okay, awesome. You don't have to wear that. But this is, they would constantly, but this is kind of cool. I mean, he's styling, isn't he? Oh, ooh. There you go. You can sit down. Anyway, so yeah, sit down, man. Okay, so they'd give us this hat. This is the kukri. And that's the sign of Nepal. And they so honor. The average age of a person, the life expectancy of a Nepalese person is 62. So there's not many old people like me around. And a white beard, I stuck out like a sore thumb. So here we are. This is in Chittagong. It's near the border of India, and those are the people that I trained in inductive Bible study methodology. And the person on the clear left is Superintendent Abraham Lama. He is just an awesome dude. I followed him on a motorcycle. What we did is I had the idea of buying a motorcycle for one of the pastors there whose motorcycle... he was walking wherever he went, and sometimes it took him 2 days to go visit some of his people. And so we were able, through Motorcycles for Missions, to buy him a motorcycle. So we bought it, and then I drove it for the first almost thousands of miles. Well, let me tell you, have you ever seen the movie, any of Mission Impossible or Jason Bourne movies, where the dudes are racing through towns and oncoming traffic? That's what it was like. I'm an old dude, and I'm praying the whole time. There was times I zipped in between, and semis are coming this way and this way, and oh, it was scary. Eck, Pastor Eck, I was preaching. I believe this was in Chittagong. No. This was in Gorkha. I was preaching in Gorkha, And Eck is my translator. He's second time he's been my translator. He is just a godly young man. Just loves the Lord, and he wants to get a master's of divinity and start a school in Nepal for the pastors because they have no school. And so, but he has twin sons and an older son. That's 10, and twin sons that are 8 years old. The oldest one, when dad's not around, tells the other ones, I'm the man of the house. You have to do what I tell you to do. And the twin boys don't pay attention to them. So there we are in the same church. And that was definitely in Gorkha when I was preaching. Gorkha is a town way up, and you can see the Himalayan mountains and Annapurna, Everest, and it's just incredibly beautiful. This is one of the trainings. This training was in Dading. This is Dading training, and you can see they all sit on the ground. No, this isn't the training. This is church. No, this is training. Even little kids were there. And we fed. You guys are the people that mostly supported this whole thing. We fed probably close to 400 people, 11 meals. So a lot of these people don't have a whole lot. So when they came for training, actually most of them came for the food that we provided. And then so you have little kids. Oh, I did ride on an elephant. That was my one fun thing. Besides scaring myself on a motorcycle, I did ride on this. There's the new mission, Free Methodist Church in the Kathmandu Valley. It only cost like $7,000-$8,000. They needed $3,000, so like for $12,000, they built this facility. And that's the superintendent, Minos, and. Oh, I forgot the young guys in front of me. Anyway, that's a Free Methodist church just in the valley. Okay, don't I look like a big white marshmallow? This was the training in Dading, and the guy in the back with the blue shirt, and they're all saying JMC, he was the pastor. What a beautiful family. And they were just digging into the word, and it was wonderful there, 95 degrees and a metal roof. No air conditioning and big bugs this size flying, praise Jesus. This is in Chittawan. This gal was sitting in the front and she just loved digging into the word, and the guys you can see in the back. Go ahead, more. This is Pastor Prem. Prem. This is the only country I feel tall because they're all about this tall. And Prem's like this, and Prem is one of our district leaders in Nepal, and he oversees like 10, 12 churches, but he was helping me, and their superintendent, that's outside of Dading, the church facility there. Keep on going. Oh, Mom and Dad is my God. This was in Chittawan. The Hindus worship anything and everything. They worship their God. Women, when they get married, I don't know why women want to become Muslims or Hindus or any of this. Only Christianity elevates women to where they should be, is made in the image of God. Christianity alone. And so if you get married, your husband, you worship your husband. We tease about it. It's no joke. They mark their heads like this, and she has to wash his feet and then drink his water, drink the water. And if he slaps her around, she must consider it a privilege to be slapped around by a god. That's the bondage that Hinduism and your mother, your god, your chicken, your dog, whatever, cow. This is one of the beautiful scenes in Nepal. Okay, here I want you to see this. This is a Hindu temple on the top of Gorkha. Clear up on top of the mountain, you can see the Himalayan mountains. The person that united all of Nepal back in the 1700s, this is where he was at. He built a temple in his palace there. On the temple, all the way around, what do you think that is? Snake. When I asked the person standing there who was just talking to people, I said, what's this? And he goes, that's the most powerful of all our gods. It's just like Satan to say, carve me into your temple and make me your greatest god. They serve Satan. And it's right there. It's carved in everything. And let me tell you, I didn't take pictures of it. And I told Abraham, I never want to go back to a temple. But all around, everywhere you turn, all their wood features and stuff, there's carvings, and it's lewd. It's pornographic. And I'm telling you, the whole time I was in the temple and walking around, the one song that came to my mind is, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Na, 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 na. And I'm singing it. People are looking at me. All these Hindu people with their little dots in the middle, they're looking at me. I'm singing. Because it was spiritual evil all around me. Satan. Oh, I got stopped by the police. This is the chief inspector for the dotting district. And we're zipping along, and I had my helmet up. So here's this white face in the midst of, there ain't no other white faces on motorcycles. In fact, there's just no very many white faces at all. And a white beard, you just don't see that. And I'm whipping along, and they're looking, and they're pulling me over. And I had to do an eye check, and I had to do blood pressure and see if I, and it's their safety. And this is the chief inspector, and he says, I was a confusion to him. They never see old dudes on motorcycles driving. And I said to him, you guys are crazy here. He goes, I know. No one obeys the law. And I said, I know. And you know, I'm just praying I survive this. And he goes, yeah. I mean, and so, okay, and here we go. I thank you. Thank you for prompting me. My wife usually says, land the plane, Dick. Land the plane. This is the worship team in the first stop. So that was inside Kathmandu in the valley. And this is the worship team. It's a bunch of the young gals. Let me tell you about their worship. They worship. They're singing. And all of a sudden, they'll break into prayer. I mean, it's just, it's not like, okay, now we'll stand and sing a few songs. Now we'll stand and have prayer. Now, no, they're singing, and all of a sudden, everybody starts praying. James, it's like, it's the Holy Spirit just, and they're all, I'm looking around, even the little kids are praying. And then it dies down, and the worship leader starts praying again, and then they're off singing again. And then all of a sudden, everybody starts praying again. And then there's this holy hush. And it wasn't just their church, it was every church I went. There was just this free flow of the Holy Spirit. And I was just going, oh, I hope we Westerners don't ruin this with our brand. There was no smoke machines. There was no fog machines. There was no fancy lighting. There wasn't any different. It was just the Holy Spirit. Oh, are you hungry for that? Oh, this pastor, His son, his worship was great. This was in Dotting, the church in Dotting. Pastor Potom. See how tall I am? He's a great man. Okay, while I was there, I heard about Pastor Samuel. He's a district leader. His motorcycle was 25 years old, and he couldn't fix it anymore. And so I said, Lord, your bill, your will. So I just laid it out on Motorcycles for Missions, and within 3 days, I had $3,200. And so we were able to buy that motorcycle. Truly, that's how tall he is. I mean, could you stand up? Oh, yeah, you'd be tall. You'd be tall in Nepal. Okay. This was really freaky. Up at the temple, I'm standing there, and these monkeys start running right behind me. I didn't even know it, and I saw something out of the corner of my eye, and I saw that, and all I could think of is there was someone on the news recently that a monkey basically ripped their face off or something like that, and I screamed like a girl. I did. But there's a mama monkey. Oh! Nepal has the voice. And so I just had to show that to you because I laughed. Okay, this is traffic. And you got people on bicycles. Next one. Oh, there we are with all the motorcycles. I was riding at Yamaha. And it was, like I said, a life-changing experience. And there's Abraham at his new church. Keep on going. Oh, here's in traffic. That's how they haul stuff around. Keep on going. Another church. That's Potom's church in Dotting. That's his son. There's a Pastor Eck with his family. He's got twins. And they're all the same height, but just awesome family. His church is like, and there's Pastor Potom, another Pastor Potom. He's the one we gave the motorcycle to, and now he can go visit people in his church. Next. Oh, this is what their buses look like. Everything's multicolor there. Next. Oh, this is in Chittim. I had the eldest pastor there pray over the superintendent. That's inside the bus. There's the snake. That's where they actually sacrifice. Right now, they're in the middle of their biggest festival, and literally that whole place will be flowing with blood. And so I asked him about it. He said, oh, yeah, we go and we sacrifice. And I said, can I tell you about someone who sacrificed for us? And he looked at me, so I told him about Jesus. We only need one sacrifice to make ourselves right with God. He said, well, you believe what you want. I'll believe what I want. Young guy. But he heard the name. Amen? Amen. Thank you for sending me. Thank you for this church. We will know till heaven. The impact. In those 190, 200 people that were trained, I think probably about 75 to 90 of them were pastors. So they're in churches and they know better how to feed. Like what I did today, I just went verse by verse, and that's what we need to hear from the Lord. Amen.
Can we applaud? Not you, but we're applauding what God did through you. I'm going to invite the worship team to come forward. You'll notice, as you pointed out, that our beginning set of worship really was pointed upward, because that's why we gather. This last set really is our